for letting me be here. Mark chapter number 6, we're going to start in verse number 30. If you would, go ahead and stand to your feet for the reading of the Word of God. Mark chapter 6, verse number 30, it says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. There were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they parted into a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were of sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." Verse number 35 says, "And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread, and give them to eat? And he saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. When they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. Verse 41 says, "When they had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to the disciples and to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled." Let's pray. Lord, we sure thank you for a great day that you have given us. We thank you for the fun we had this morning, the time of service that we had, and everybody that was here. God, we sure thank you for that. God, I pray for the service tonight, God, that you would just fill me with your Spirit, fill me, and tell me exactly what needs to be said. God, I pray for the hearts of the people, that you would open mind and ears. God, please convict and encourage. We sure need you and love you. Bless. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Mark chapter number 6 is a very familiar chapter. You're going to be seated. I'm sorry. You can get a very familiar passage of Scripture here, and you would obviously know about the story of the feeding of the 5,000, but I am going to preach on that tonight, even though you're probably very familiar with the story. I want to point out something that jumped out at me from the pages of the Word of God, even though I've heard this story many, many times as well. But we back up a little bit in the chapter, there in chapter number 6, and verse number 7, it says, he called unto the 12 and began to send them forth by 2 and 2 and gave them power over unclean spirits. So here is Jesus, and he calls his 12 apostles, the 12 disciples, and goes ahead and sends them out 2 by 2 to preach the gospel and to teach and to heal those that were sick, that had diseases, those that had unclean spirits in them. He sends them forth to do all of this, all of these things. And that's where we pick up in our text in verse number 30, and it says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus." If you back up just one or two verses, it talks about where John the Baptist was just beheaded. It talks about how Herodias' daughter comes and dances before Herod, and Herod says, "I'll give you anything you want up to half of the kingdom." And Herodias goes back, the daughter of Herodias goes back and asks her mother, say, "Well, what should I ask for?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist on a charter." So she goes back and tells King Herod, and he sends to have John the Baptist beheaded. And when you first read verse number 30, it says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus." And you may think that he's speaking of John's disciples, but he's not. He's speaking of the 12 apostles that followed Jesus. The word apostle, when it speaks in the Gospels, is referring to the 12. And so we know, and also the word taught is there. That's how we kind of know that he's speaking of the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles. And number one, I want you to notice the disciples' command. Number one, notice the disciples' command. And there in verse number 31, it says, "And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." He's just sent the 12 disciples out, the 12 apostles, to preach and teach. And they've been out, and they've been laboring, and they've been doing that. And Jesus knows that when you've been out serving, and it gets pretty tiring sometimes. He knows when you've been out laboring for him, that sometimes you can become weary, you can become tired. And that's where when they come back, Jesus says, "Oh, let's go into a desert place and rest for a little while." Jesus would have known that. In Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 37, it says, "And when they had found him, they said unto him," speaking of Jesus, "all men seek for thee." All men seek for thee. So Jesus would have known exactly what the disciples had just been through. They were physically exhausted. They were probably spiritually exhausted, emotionally tired from serving very vigorously. And here, if you continue reading in verse number 31, it says, "And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as these." He said they didn't even have time to take care of their own physical bodies. They were so busy serving in the ministry. They were so busy preaching and teaching and healing people, they didn't even have time to feed themselves. And many times as Christians, you and I, we can get so busy in the work of God, and we just get drained. We just become exhausted physically. We push ourselves to the limit, up early, up late, working hard and doing things, and we become emotionally exhausted when you're having to deal with people, and it's just spiritually exhausting. Sometimes we get so busy working for God that we forget to walk with God. We get so busy working for God that we forget to walk with God. And Jesus is saying here, he gives the disciples a command, and he's saying sometimes we have to come apart or we will come apart. If you understand, we have to separate ourselves and step back for a few minutes or a few moments, or we may come apart spiritually. We may come apart physically or whatever it may be. We may begin to develop health problems. That's like my pastor. He speaks that when he first took the pastorate there at our church, he was working 80 hours a week, and he believes that's the reason that he now has leukemia, is because he pushed himself to the limit week after week after week. And if we don't physically come apart and take a step back, we will come apart, if that makes sense to you. Number one, we see the disciples' command, but number two, I want you to notice the desire of the crowd. Notice the desire of the crowd. In verse number 32, it says, "And they departed into a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto them." If you can imagine, Jesus and the disciples have just gotten on this ship, and they're going to sail out to a desert place to rest for just a little while. And these people in the city see Jesus and know who he is, and they see that he's leaving, and they begin to run after Jesus afoot. Notice the very persistent desire they had for Christ. Even though Christ was leaving, even though Christ was moving, they were going with him. If Jesus was moving in your life, would you even notice? If Jesus was even moving in your life, would you even notice? What a very convicting question. Here, Jesus was in the cities with them, and he decided to depart for a while, and they knew that he was moving. If Jesus was moving in this room tonight, would you be able to sense it? Would you notice if Jesus was moving in your life? Notice they were very persistent. Also, it was a very personal. They wanted to be as close to Jesus as they possibly could be. Is that our desire tonight? What is our desire? A good friend of mine, Brother Ed Looney, said this. He said, "It's not that we don't want what God has. It's not that we don't want the blessings of God. Many times, it's just the fact we don't want it bad enough." And what a true statement that is. We want to be close to Jesus if it's easy. We want to be close to Jesus if it's convenient. But here, the 12 or these men in the cities, the 5,000 that we read about, it says, and they ran afoot. That doesn't sound easy to me. It's going to cost you something. It's going to be a little bit of work if you're going to be close to Jesus. It's going to be a little bit of work. Number three, I want you to notice the demeanor of Christ. Notice the demeanor of Christ. Look at verse number 34. "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." Notice the demeanor of Christ here, and having compassion upon these people. Notice that he was looking for them. I noticed that he said, and it says, and he saw. And I believe Jesus Christ tonight is looking down and saying, is there anybody at Valley Avenue Baptist Church that has a desire to be close to me. Amen. He's looking down, if you will, with his spiritual binoculars, looking into each and every heart, saying, is there one that just wants to be close to me? The demeanor of Christ was he was looking for somebody. Also notice the his love. It says he was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. James 4, 8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And what a wonderful verse that is, because when we move toward God, God comes toward us. And he begins to get closer to us as we get closer to him. The demeanor of Christ. He was very loving. He was looking for us. As you can imagine, Jesus standing on the boat, looking across the water as he's standing on the ship and seeing these multitude of 5,000 as they're running afoot after him. We see, number three, the demeanor of Christ. Number four, I want you to notice the desperation of the circumstances. Notice the desperation of the circumstances. Look at verse number 35. It says, and when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. They've just arrived, if you will, in that desert place, the Jesus and his disciples, and now here all these 5,000 men show up. And there's some desperation of the circumstances because Jesus is a long-winded preacher, kind of like Brother Chad. And the long-winded preacher, I can imagine as they got there and Jesus began to teach and to preach, the time would have went, that you wouldn't even have realized time was going by. It would have been as if time stood still as you were hearing the Lord Jesus Christ's voice, as he was beginning to teach and to preach. If you can imagine sitting under the voice of Christ, and time would have went by just like that. Before you know it, it would have been far past. Time would have been far past. But also notice the location that they were in. They were in a desert place. There was no place to get food. There was no place to get refreshments, no water. They were in a desert place. There was some desperation in the circumstances. So Jesus, or the disciples come to Jesus and say, you've been preaching for an awful long time now. These people are getting hungry. These people are going to need some refreshments. And the disciples say, well, Lord, do we need to go into the city and provide for these people? How do you expect us to feed these? Jesus said, well, just feed them. Just feed them. Verse number 36 says, send them away, the disciples speaking, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And verse number 37 says, he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. Jesus speaking to the disciples said, let's go ahead and feed them. Go ahead and feed them. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? Disciples say, does it look like we have enough money to be able to feed 5,000 people? What an extreme amount of money, what an extreme amount of food that would have been to bring back with only 12 disciples. And he said unto them, how many loaves have ye? And now if you cross-reference this passage, it will also bring you to John chapter number 6. And the exact same story is taking place here. And in John, it mentions a young lad that was there in that chapter. And if you can imagine on this morning, as the mom of this lad is there, and she's packing his lunch. She's putting the bread and the fish in his brown paper sack, and she sets it on the counter for him, and she gets it all made, and as, you know, a mother would do. And here the lad comes through as he's, you know, just a young boy, and he grabs the lunch off the counter, and as he's yet running out the door, he says, thanks, Mom. And he runs outside to play that day, and he's out there and playing and playing, and eventually he sees a crowd of people all running in this direction. And every young boy, I'm sure his curiosity perked up. And he said, man, I wonder what's going on. I wonder why all these people are running afoot after this boat. And so as he begins to follow this boat and begins to follow this crowd, and he's going out through there, and he finally finds himself in the midst of these 5,000 people hearing Jesus teach and preach. And I'm sure he was in just as much awe as the rest of the people that day. And it came to the time of eating, come to the time to feed them. And I would imagine that the disciples came to Jesus and had their conversation, and Jesus asked him, how much food do you have? And they would have said, well, we don't have any. So Jesus said, go ask the people if they have any food. And I can imagine as the disciples are walking through this huge crowd of people saying, does anybody have any food that they're willing to depart with? Anybody have any food they're willing to give up? Anybody have any food that they are willing to get rid of tonight or today, whatever the situation may have been? And I don't believe they gave a bunch of details and said, well, we're going to take whatever food you have and the Lord's going to break it and bless it and multiply it and everybody's going to eat. I don't think that they gave him that explanation. I don't think that they told him exactly what was going on. He just made a sacrificial gift of his lunch and gave it away, expecting nothing in return. He gave away everything he had at that time. A young boy gave everything he had to Jesus, expecting absolutely nothing in return. How many times do we do that? How many times do we, when we fill out our offering envelope and the plate comes by and we drop it in and say, Lord, you're supposed to reward a cheerful giver. And then we say, if you can do it quickly, we plan on going to lunch after this. Maybe when God says, you're supposed to read your Bible, and you get up and you spend 10 minutes in the Word of God. And as you go on throughout the day, Lord, you're supposed to bless me now. I did what I was supposed to do. I did my duty. I checked the box. I spent time in the Word of God. Now, hey, could you bless me today? And this lad had gave everything he had, expecting absolutely nothing in return. Nothing in return. I want you to notice one thing about giving all. Giving all. He had a little, a very small amount, he had a little, but he had a lot of help, if that makes sense. The lad only had just a very small amount, but with the help of God, it turned into a lot. And tonight, each and every one of us can only offer God what we have. And in the sight of God, and probably in our sight, ought to be, we don't have very much. We don't have a lot of talent. We don't have a lot of ability. We don't have a lot of money. We don't have a lot of fill in the blank. But God's saying, all I need is that little bit, and I can turn it into a whole lot. Turn it into a whole lot. And many Christians will not give that little bit because they're afraid that God's going to take them out in a desert. Remember the story? He's afraid God's going to take them out in a desert. It's hot. There's no food. There's no water. They're not going to have any fun anymore. Serving God is boring now. I'm in church all the time. Reading my Bible all the time. Not going to have any fun anymore. Not going to have any friends anymore. But that's not the case at all. Notice this verse. And when the Lord showed me this, I almost jumped out of my boots. It was great. I'm excited. My very favorite part of the whole message. Notice that they're in a desert place. Verse number 39. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. Now, I've never been to an actual desert like over in Africa or in Israel, but I've been to Texas and that's pretty close. Yes. And I've never seen green grass in the middle of a desert. And we think that when we give everything we have, our very little bit to God, we're going to be out stuck in the desert with nothing, no water, no food, no friends, no family. That's not true, because God always provides a little piece of grass, a little piece of comfort for you and for I. How wonderful it is when we give our all to God, He can do an awful lot with us, with it, and with us. When that lad gave all he had, that very small bit of food, not expecting anything in return, not expecting to ever probably see that food again. God did something with it. He sat him down in the green grass in the comfort. They weren't sitting in the boiling sun anymore. They weren't sitting in the sand that was, I'm sure, very, very hot. They were sitting in the green grass in the comfort, hearing the Word of God preached as they enjoyed some fish and some bread. And we think, I can't give to God because my life's going to be miserable. That's not true at all. God has a way of making green grass in the desert. In this passage, we find four categories of people. And I think tonight maybe you'll find yourself in one of these four categories. Number one, we found the disciples. We found the apostles there in verse number 30. And they were discouraged, I'm sure. Not maybe necessarily discouraged, but I'm sure they were wore out. And maybe you're here tonight and that's you. Maybe you're like the disciples and you've just been plugging away. You've been getting after it. You've been serving here at the church. I know this morning we had many people here, maybe took off work, I'm not sure. Took off work to be here to make everything flow, to provide the food and provide for the games and corral all the kids. And you've been just plugging away and plugging away. And maybe you're like the disciple and say, I just need to get away for a little while. I just need to come apart for a short time before I come apart. Maybe you're like the crowd. Maybe you're like the crowd tonight and you're desperate for Jesus. Here the crowd is, and they weren't taking no for an answer. There was no way that Jesus was getting away. He was leaving, but they were going with him. And maybe you're here tonight and you're desperate for Jesus. And I would hope to, and like to think, that's each and every one of us. Maybe you're desperate for Jesus because you're not saved. And maybe you're desperate because you know if you died tonight, you would spend an eternity in hell. You're desperate for Jesus. Maybe it is that you just have a burning desire to be close to Him. Have a desire for Jesus. We have the disciples, we have the crowd. Then notice Jesus. Notice Jesus. In verse number 34, it says, and Jesus, when He came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion. Maybe your desire is not what it ought to be. Maybe your desire is not what it ought to be like Jesus was when He saw the people. He was moved with compassion. Maybe you've been too focused on self lately. Maybe you've been too focused on me, 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 when me really doesn't matter. How is your desire tonight? Well, when you see somebody in need, do you try to meet the need or you look the other direction? Here, Jesus moved with compassion. And then I want you to notice the lad, and we'll be done. Notice the lad. The lad was downplayed. We had the disciples were discouraged. The crowd was the desperate. Jesus had a desire. And then the lad, he was looked down upon. Or he was denied, if you will. You say, what do you mean? In John chapter number 6, it says, speaking of the very same passage, in verse number 8, one of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, there's a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? What are they among so many? And you may be here tonight and you think, like Andrew did, I just got a little bit. God could never use me. God could never do anything in my life. God could never take with this little bit that I have and turn it into a whole lot. Well, my friend, you're wrong. You're wrong. What are these among so many? These two small fishes and these five small loaves were able to feed over 5,000 people. And you may just have a very small amount, but when you give that small amount to God, He can do more with it than you can ever imagine. You may be here tonight and say, I want to, but I'm just scared. And that's understandable. It really is. I'm sure that lad thought, we're a ways from home. This is all the food I've got. This is, as a matter of fact, this is all I've got. But I'm going to give it anyway. Tonight, what has God touched your heart about? Say, you need to give this. You need to give that. I'm going to read you a quick illustration. William Borden, one-time heir to the Borden wealth, gave up all he had to pursue the cause of Christ as a missionary. He wrote in his journal three words, say no to self and yes to Jesus every time. In every man's heart, there is a throne and a cross. If Christ is on the throne, self is on the cross. And if self is even a little bit on the throne, Jesus is on the cross in that man's heart. Lord, I take my hands off as far as my life is concerned. I put thee on the throne of my life. Change, cleanse, and use me as thou shalt choose. That was William Borden's testimony that he wrote in his journal. But William Borden never made it to the mission field as he died en route. It was said that there was three phrases that summarized his life. Number one, it was no reserve. Number two, no regret. And number three, no retreat. No reserve, no regrets, and no retreat. And my friend, tonight, don't be reserved in giving what you have to God. And when you give it to Him, don't retreat, if you will. Don't take it back. Leave it there. When you bring it to the altar tonight, leave it there. And my friend, I promise you, there will be no regrets. There will be no regrets. Which of these categories are you in? Are you like the disciples? Or are you like the crowd? Are you like Jesus? Do you desire to be like Jesus? Or are you like the lad and say, I've just got a little bit. But God, if you want it, I'll give it to you. Hey God, if you want my life, I'll give it to you. You know the song that we sing for kids? I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go, I'll do, I'll be. I wonder if you could sing that song honestly tonight. I'll go where you want me to go. That might mean Leap Falls City. I'll be what you want me to be. That might mean changing occupation. I'll do what you want me to do. Can you sing that tonight, or does your song go more like this? I'll go where I want to go. I'll be what I want to be. I'll do what I want to do. I'll go, I'll do, I'll be. What song are you singing tonight? God, this is my life, and I'm going to live it to the fullest. I'm going to live it the way I want to live. I'm going to do exactly what I want to do, what makes me happy. Or God, I've just got a little bit. But if you want it, it's all yours. Because I know that you've got some green grass prepared for me somewhere. As a matter of fact, here in John, it says much green grass. Much green grass. Where are you at tonight? Are you discouraged? Do you desire Jesus? Are you the young person tonight that everybody says, God can't use them? God can't use them. No reserve, no retreat, and no regret. A little, with a whole lot of help. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, God's pricking your heart. There's no way you can sit through a service just like this one, lost, without God convicting your heart. And we talked about it this morning with the young people. At the end of the service, at the end of any time you spend in the Word of God, you have to make a choice. You say, I'm not going to make a choice. By saying, I'm not making a choice, you made a choice. You can say, I'm going to reject God, and that's fine. And that's your choice. And on that day, the great white throne judgments, God's going to say, you rejected me, now I have to reject you. And you'll be cast into the lake of fire. Oh, how sad. This evening, if you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, grab somebody. Come to the altar. Ask questions. Please don't leave. A little, with a whole lot of help. We'd all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe you need to come to the altar and say, God, I'm just discouraged. God, I just need to come apart. Maybe your desire's not right. Maybe you're downplaying yourself. A little, with a whole lot of help. Where are you at tonight? Would you come?